A lot of anglers start with the BFL or they start in regional tournaments, but with me today is a guy that started through the BFL, went through the Everstarch, which is now the Strin Series, and now is an FLW Tour Pro. And with me today is Brennan Bosley. And Brennan, you know, you look at the way you've kind of come through the ranks and had some great success along the way, but that's kind of a tough challenge to start at the bottom and go through the top, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is a tough challenge, but, you know, it was a great ride. It's been fun. You meet a lot of anglers and get to go a lot of different places in the country, and we'll just learn new water. So, and, you know, it's a challenge that I think every fisherman that has hopes and dreams of doing this for a living should take and move their way up.
Well, you know, as you look at it, you've made almost $200,000. We were going to kid a little bit and talk about you were the first $1 million winner, but I think somebody would catch us on that. But, you know, you come from Arkansas, which gives you kind of a central location. But just recently, you were fishing at Lake Murray and caught a record weight fish and ended up coming in second place, but you still got $100,000.
Yeah, that's pretty unreal when you go out and catch 45, 46 pounds of bass in 2 days. And, you know, you better your first day weight by about 3 or 4 pounds. And, I mean, I pretty much thought I had it won, and you get beat. But, you know, $100,000 really isn't nothing to sneeze at. And I'm excited to have it in my pocket, and it was just an awesome tournament, you know. And I went into that tournament, and I told myself, right here is my chance, and they're going to have to beat me, and that's all there is to it. And, you know, Anthony, he's a great kid and a great fisherman, and he really overcome some obstacles on his home water there to win the tournament.
Well, you know, a lot of people say, oh, it's his home water, he has all these spots to go to, but how many times have you seen a guy go to his home water and really get that home water jinx? So, you know, that really had to play into it, didn't it?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it did. And I imagine the mental aspect of it was it's bigger than anything. I know he had a ton of boats following him. I saw him every day of the tournament. He had a lot of people watching him, had a lot of pressure. You know, I imagine the phone calls every day, how'd you do, that kind of stuff every day, really getting to him. But, you know, my hat's off to him. He did an awesome job, and he won the tournament. He caught the fish just like he needed to catch and beat me by about a pound and a half.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that weigh-in, you know, unbelievable weigh-in and probably the best weigh-in that FLW has ever held. And you look at it, you know, you have to bring a 6-pounder in to take the lead, or you got to bring a 4-pounder up or whatever. What an exciting weigh-in that was.
Yeah, wasn't that awesome? I mean, I've never, ever seen anything like it, and I don't know that we ever will. You know, there for the last 15 minutes or so, it was just one big fish after another. You know, one guy reached down the live well and pulled out a 6, the next guy pulled out a 7. You know, I pulled one out that was 8 pounds, and it was awesome. I've never seen anything like it, and, you know, that's what the fans want. And the fans in South Carolina, they're unreal. You know, they were there, you know, pouring down rain, standing outside of the tent just so they could watch our weigh-in.
Well, you know, let's talk a little bit about how you dissected that body of water. You know, Lake Murray has a big reputation over years past, a lot of grass, and, you know, one of those places where you had a flipping bite sometimes, maybe throw a topwater plug, but that grass is now gone, and the water level was down about 10 or 12 feet. And how did you, when you approached this, how did you approach it?
Well, you know, we were there a few years back, and the water level was about the same. The water was a little warmer, and I was catching fish on a rattle trap. I had a real good tournament that year, too. And the water was a little cooler this time, and I just act like there never was grass and went and fished it like I would a deep clear reservoir, which it's fairly clear, but it does have some stain to the water. And I know the fish really relate to big rock this time of the year, and I just spent my time, you know, looking for the right rock. And my Lowrance GPS had 72 waypoints on it where I'd caught a 4-pound-plus fish during practice. So, you know, I knew they were there. We had a major cold front, actually 2 major cold fronts come through during the tournament, and I just didn't let it get me down because I knew the fish were there. I just had to make them bite, and I just took some time hunting and pecking around the lake, and did a lot more riding and looking than I did fishing during practice, and it really paid off.
Well, you know, you talk about big rocks, and in particular in cold weather conditions, that's key, isn't it? Because what happens with those big rocks when it warms up?
Yeah, those big rocks, you know, they hold a ton of heat. The sun will come out in the afternoons, and that's when the bite really got good, is when the sun was out in the afternoon and warmed those rocks up, and those big females would just sit there and suspend above those rocks. And I'd take that little old crankbait and just swim it down there and bang it into a rock, and, you know, she just couldn't help from eating it.
Well, let's talk about that crankbait a little bit. It was a unique crankbait. It's a bait that's been around forever, and, you know, the bomber name anyway, but some baits that are maybe a little different than maybe what some guys have thrown in the past.
Yeah, it's a bomber flat A. It's actually the deep flat A. And the color I was throwing mainly was a brown crystal crawdad. which is, I believe it's an old color that they just reintroduced under the Bill Dance series. And it's basically a translucent brown crawdad. It's got a little bit of gold flash to it. And I think it's just the wiggle of that bait. It's kind of subtle. And after the cold front, I knew, you know, I'd caught a lot of fish before the cold front. I'd actually found all my fish on a Strike King jig, on just an old bootlegger brown chameleon crawfish jig. And I knew after the, I couldn't get them to bite on that after the cold front came through. And I figured I was going to have to go something to get that reaction. And I was just throwing that crankbait out there, actually out there in water way too deep for that crankbait to run. But every cast, I was just hoping I'd tip the top of that rock or run into that stump. And that's how I got my bites. You know, my bait hardly ever hit the bottom when I got a bite. It was always just bouncing off something where a fish was suspended out a little deeper.
Well, you know, you look back, and I know years past, and springtime bite in particular, a shad wrap, you know, or something like that, some kind of a bait that has that little tighter wobble, and that's kind of what you're telling me here, I think, is this bomber bait maybe had that little bit more subtle
wobble. It's a little more subtle. It's just like a shad wrap, a little more subtle. I like to fish a wiggle wart and a Strike King Series 3 crankbait also, but there was just something they liked about that little tighter wobble. I noticed during practice, the wider wobbling baits, every fish would be hooked on the back. But I throw this little subtle bait, which, by the way, is hard to throw in the wind. And we have pretty windy conditions all the time. And they just like that little subtle deal. And every time I'd catch one on it, it'd be, you know, the bait would be gone. When I'd see them jump, all I could see was line. So that was what they were on. And I'm sure glad we tried it, and I'm sure glad it worked.
Well, I talked to Matt Heron. I talked to Anthony Gagliardi a little bit about line as well. And were you using fluorocarbon or were you using mono?
Yeah, I was using 10-pound fluorocarbon, Seaguar fluorocarbon, and I really like to use it cranking. I like to use it for everything nowadays, but I like to use it cranking. I feel like it gets you a little bit deeper with that crankbait, and I can feel the rocks with that little wobble, tight wobble, and you know, a pretty limber rod, crankbait rod. I can feel the rocks a lot better with that fluorocarbon because it sends so much more information up that line. And I can actually tell, you know, is that a stump or is that a rock? So I do like the fluorocarbon line. I think it gives us fishermen a little bit of an advantage.
Well, you look, you know, now you look back at this tournament and you're moving around the country. I'm catching you in campgrounds and everywhere else, you know, in different parts of the country here. But you look back at it. Now you've got $100,000 in your pocket. Are you resting a little bit easier at night knowing you've got that money in your pocket and you're going to move to the next event?
Well, you know, it will make my year a little bit easier. I've kind of gone at it a different approach. I'm really a high strung, uptight all the time. I'm real active and go, 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 go. And I told myself this year, I had a pretty decent year last year, but I was kind of disappointed in what I did. So I told myself this year, man, I was just going to relax. I was going to go fishing and have a good time. I know how to catch fish. I've proved it in the past. I'm a good fisherman, and I decided I was just going to go and enjoy myself. And, you know, it worked out last time. I'm going to do the same thing the next tournament. I'm just going to act like that money's not in my pocket. I'm just going to go fishing, have a good time. That's what it's all about. You know, I've made it this far doing what I do. And, you know, there's no sense being out here struggling and beating yourself up when you can have a good time and still have success.
Well, you know, sometimes that attitude pays big dividends, and it sounds like you've found that maybe I've gotten myself into a zone where you're going to be able to just go out there and now have your next event coming up there at Pickwick for the FLW Tour. And see how
you know, I do. I feel really good about this next event. I'm talking to a bunch of guys, and I'm hearing everybody whining and crying at how tough it's going to be, and Pickwick's a tough place to fish, which it really is. It's an enormously tough lake, especially this time of the year. You know, I expect probably 90% of the field to leave the lake, to lock out of it, and go fish somewhere else. But I feel good about it. It's my kind of fishing. It's my style of fishing. And, you know, I've just got that feeling. There's a lot of times when you get that feeling before you even go somewhere, and you really do well. And I think it's just the confidence that I've got from the last few tournaments and kind of on a roll, and we're going to keep that roll going.
Well, Brendan, I appreciate you being with us here at Bass Fan Radio. Good luck in the future.
Hey, I sure appreciate you.
I'm Terry Brown, and this has been Bass Fan Radio.